Meanwhile, we come to the third and last part of the subject, which is, what do the members of the spiritual community do for themselves, for one another, and for the world? So first of all, what do they do for themselves? Of course, in the first place, they all carry on with their individual spiritual practice. They continue to study, they meditate, they practice right livelihood, they observe the precepts. But this is rather general. What is it that they do for themselves as members of the spiritual community? And this, we may say, is much more difficult to explain, because it means describing, to some extent at least, what it is like to be a member of the spiritual community. And this cannot really be done. We have to experience for ourselves what it is like to be a member of the spiritual community. But I will say one thing. What a member of the spiritual community does for himself or for herself as a member of the spiritual community is to put himself or herself in the position of being able to relate to others on a purely spiritual basis, or at least on a predominantly spiritual basis, on the basis of a common spiritual ideal, a common spiritual commitment. Now, what does this mean? We know, meeting people all the time. Meeting them at home, meeting them at the office, meeting them in the street, meeting them at the club, coffee bar, and so on. We're meeting people all the time. And we're relating to these people that we meet in so many different ways. But usually, we're relating to them on the basis of our own need. This is how we usually relate. This is the usual basis, yeah? Our own need. The need, of course, may be mutual. Sometimes it's a sexual need. Sometimes it's an emotional, a psychological need. Sometimes it's an economic need, a social need. But it's a need. And it's on the basis of this need, our need, that we usually relate to people. And the relationship, therefore, is very often exploitive. Even, we may say, mutually exploitive. But very often we don't care to admit this. Very often we don't like to say what it is that we really want from other people, what we're really expecting from them, what we're really looking for. Sometimes we don't even really and fully consciously know. So this means that only too often our relationships are dishonest, or at best confused. It means that they're accompanied by a certain amount of mutual misunderstanding and a certain amount of rationalization. Within the spiritual community, however, we do not relate to others in this kind of way. Within the spiritual community, the situation is that we want to develop spiritually. They want, that is to say, others want to develop spiritually. They have gone for refuge. We have gone for refuge too. So we relate on this basis. Relate on the basis of our common commitment and our common ideal. We relate on the basis of our highest common interest, our highest common concern. And if we relate to others in this way, then we experience others in a way that we do not usually experience them. we experience them as spiritual beings. And because we experience others as spiritual beings, because we're relating to others as spiritual beings, we experience ourselves as spiritual beings too. And in this way, because we experience others as spiritual beings, they experience us as spiritual beings. Because we experience ourselves, each of us, as spiritual beings, in this way, the pace of spiritual development is accelerated. We experience ourselves more and more truly, experience ourselves more and more intensely. In more ordinary terms, within the context of the spiritual community, we can be ourselves. Be ourselves, that is to say, ourselves as we are, at our best and our highest. Very often when you speak of being yourself, you mean yourself at your worst. You mean letting out that part of yourself that you don't usually like to acknowledge. But there's another way of being yourself, is letting out the best in yourself. And very often it's the best rather than the worst that doesn't have an opportunity of expressing itself. So within the context of the spiritual community, one can be oneself at one's best, even at one's worst, if necessary. But be oneself fully, completely, wholly, perfectly. And we know only too well that in the context of ordinary life, this is rarely possible. It's rarely possible, even with our own nearest and dearest. And most people, I think, know only too well. It may be your own mother or your own father. Maybe your own husband or your own wife. Maybe your own friend. Maybe someone who is very near to you and very dear to you. But only too often, on certain occasions, or in connection with certain topics, you cannot fully and truly be yourself. Even with one person, and quite a few people go through their lives without being able to be themselves completely and continuously with anybody. So they find it only too often difficult even to experience themselves as they are, even to experience themselves at their best. But within the context of the spiritual community, one can be oneself, not just with one person, but even with two or three people, even with 10 or 12 people, even with many people. And this is perhaps the sort of experience that is unprecedented in the lives of the majority of people. If one can only think, if one can only imagine what it would be like if it was possible for you to be yourself with a large number of people. To come, whether there are 5 or 6 people, you can be yourself. But 10 or 12 people, you can still be yourself. Maybe 40, 50, 60 people present, but you're all being yourselves. This is something quite unusual, quite unprecedented, not within the experience of the vast majority of people, but this is possible within the spiritual community, because one is relating within the spiritual community on the basis of what is best and highest in each, in everyone, on the common basis of the shared spiritual commitment, the shared spiritual ideal. Therefore, within the spiritual community, one experiences a great relief and a great joy. No need to put up any defenses, no need to pretend, no need for misunderstanding. One can be oneself with others who are also being themselves, in complete clarity, without even the possibility, at its best, of any misunderstanding. So in a situation like this, in a spiritual community like this, one naturally develops more rapidly, more easily even, in a sense, than would otherwise have been possible. So we do a great deal for ourselves simply by being a member of a spiritual community. That is to say, an active member, And of course, there isn't really any other kind of member of a spiritual community.